You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's time for a noon kick.
And as they say in Tinseltown, roll up.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and T-shirts.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday.
Driven by Gresham Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. For the lowest prices on cars and trucks on the east side of Portland, visit dodgeofgresham.com. Gresham Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. A short drive from anywhere.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. What's up, everybody? Hope your Fridays are going well. Welcome in. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan.
Well, at least better than Sprague's Friday.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you come into work and you try and give it your all. You really do. And then everybody needs to slap you in the face of reality and say, just get the hell out of here, please. And
that was pretty much.
That was the case with Sprague today. I come in and he looked like death sitting back at his chair. He hadn't opened his computer.
I saw him in the hall. And he's like, oh, I've been away. How's it going? How's everything? And right. he was dashing for the restroom.
Yeah, he was running back and forth, clenching the cheeks.
Yeah.
It's one of those. You know, he told me last night he had Hawaiian food and 3 beers. So I'm wondering.
That'll do it.
Was it the Hawaiian food? Was it the beers? Was it the combination? Because sometimes you combine those things. We've all been there, right? So we told him, go get some Imodium, get the hell out of here, and have a three-day weekend. Won't be an enjoyable three-day weekend, but I do know he's been dealing with, it's funny, we always have these back and forths before the show, because his youngest daughter has been just extremely ill all week, vomiting everywhere. I can't remember what he said that she had, but no matter what they put down her throat, she's been throwing up all over the place, and it's been brutal. And
so I have a little nephew that's been going through that too. And he like went back to school for a day and they sent him back home.
No, get out of here.
Yeah.
And I've been terrified all week because I'm thinking he's going to get me sick. I'm like, that stuff jumps from person to person. I got to sit like 5 feet away from you for 6 hours a day. This is ridiculous. I don't want to touch you. And then he ended up being the one that got sick. Thankfully, I'm okay. Thankfully, you're okay, Swag. Swag is back. Hey, what's up, Swag?
How was your week off?
How were your 4 days off, your 4-day vacation?
I was active, but at a casual pace.
Okay.
A lot of maintenance.
Staycation, stuff around the house.
Well, Monday was media day for the Pilots basketball team, so I was able to go over in the afternoon, and Terry Porter kind of gave his state of the team address and got to watch practice with all the new guys, all that fun stuff. So that was cool. And then I got all the haircut. I'm 5 pounds lighter. I ended up going in. And I pulled the hinge out of my glass. I was like, oh, crap, I need new glasses. They said, well, we need to update your prescription. It's been a while since you had an exam. So then I had an exam and dilated and then got with all the family. You know, had lunch with my mom one day and then had lunch with Harold and all that sort of stuff. So it was enough, but it was at a casual enough pace. And then then you were done. Then I was back home watching the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, then you're back watching sports. So, I mean, in terms of weeks to take off, you picked a pretty good one because you got to enjoy your team winning games in the NLCS and not worry about coming in the next morning.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I guess today is a little different because you're here and they clinched last night. And I will say that is one reason. There's some days you're just glad your co-host isn't here. I'm actually glad he's not here today so I don't have to listen to that condescending my team, this team, whatever their stupid hashtag is. His throwing his fandom out the window, his morals out the window, and rooting for the Dodgers.
I, however, am not.
No.
And I am rejoicing.
You are enjoying
29
it.
Years, 3 decades since we've got to get excited like this.
Well, embrace yourselves, folks. We'll get to that game at some point. I'll let Swag. I begrudgingly have to talk about the NLCS. The Dodgers are going to the World Series.
I kind of was mad I wasn't here. What was it? Was it game three?
The Turner home run or which one?
No, Yu Darvish's at bat.
Oh, his at bat. Yeah, his at bat in Wrigley Field.
I thought that was the best at bat of the entire series.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was a lot of fun to watch. And we'll talk about that series. We'll get into that. There's a lot to get to today, really. We'll start with last night's game. That was an awesome game. I mean, 5 different chances for Oakland to win it. Just craziness ensued down in the Bay Area. As I mentioned, we'll get to the NLCS at some point. Did anyone enjoy watching Lonzo Ball get shut down as much as I did?
I NBA was the only sport I did not watch
last
night.
That was off your radar last night.
I watched the first period of the Canucks, and then they got a major and gave up three goals and to the Bruins. I was like, okay, good thing the Dodger game's starting now.
Yeah, we'll see you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
And then I caught bits and pieces of the Raiders and Chiefs and that weird finish.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't want to give them the ratings on TNT last night because I know LeVar Ball is probably going to tout that. Look how many people watched. But I ended up getting roped in.
Anybody that's still buying his whatever, you're the sucker.
Well, and
You're the sucker at this point.
I did find something interesting out from Sprague because he was down in L.A. a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling me something. I'll get to this when we talk about it. We'll do that coming up at 1:30, but how folks in L.A. feel about LeVar Ball, because it really caught me off guard. And so we'll talk about that. He got shut down. I want to mention Westbrook's stat line as well, as the Thunder started their year last night against the Knicks. We'll get back into the Blazers at some point. You didn't have a chance to talk about that. How about that 48-point win the other night? They take on the Pacers tonight, who are going to be a little shorthanded, so trying to keep that momentum going. We'll get to that coming up in the final hour. We'll Sprague the line. Sprague sent me his picks. So we got those. Kevin Todd will join us. He's inching back close to 500. Sprague was 1-2 last week. He had a rough one last week. He went 1-2 and he bought the teaser. So he bought down the spreads and went 1-2.
Well, no wonder he's sick today.
Yeah, that's probably why. And I'm sure Kevin will have some fun with that.
KT's going to pile on. No sympathy there.
Because he ripped him a new one last Friday. Like, you're buying the points? Come on, just go straight up. And then he bought the points and he ended up missing two of the games. And we'll get to that. Oregon-UCLA, got to talk about that game. We'll do that coming up at 1 o'clock. I do want to make some picks in the Pac-12. It's an interesting weekend in the Pac-12 for me. So we'll go around. We'll look at the spreads, look at some of the games. I mean, Arizona State, we're wondering if they're for real. People are thinking USC could get exposed this weekend as they play Notre Dame on the road. So talk about those ones as well. And then anybody on upset alert this weekend in college football? Because the last 2 weeks we've kind of flirted with that notion and some folks
have
laughed.
Well, last week was
you've had total destruction. You've had five top 10 teams lose in the last 2 weeks. Yeah. And you know another one's going to go down. That's just the trend that we're on right now. So we'll get to that at some point in the final hour. I do want to throw out the poll questions quickly. You can go vote on these at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. That's where you can give us a follow as well. We will follow you back. First, we'll just simply ask, who's going to win the game tomorrow, Oregon or UCLA? Early results are in. 48% of people think Oregon can win that ball game. How about that? Optimistic bunch. 48% going with Oregon, 52% going with UCLA. And then the other one is, what do you enjoy watching more, college football or the NFL? 66% of people so far are saying college football, because I brought that up yesterday and Sprague and I talked about it to open the show. We didn't really have a chance to kind of elaborate on it and get into it more, but we were talking about the ratings being down in the National Football League, which they are. Primetime ratings, surprisingly, are still performing strong, but as a whole, the numbers are down, and we were trying to identify the different reasons why that was and why maybe the NFL is struggling more this year than they have in years past. And I do think it's a really complex issue, and it's not just one thing that you can point to, but it got me thinking about the difference between the two and how many folks out there maybe are just watching more college football than the NFL. So I'm curious, a listener perspective on that, 55305, which one do you enjoy more? And does your enjoyment, if you are a college football person, does your enjoyment of that sport maybe downplay the NFL for you a little bit, and you don't watch as much on Sundays like you used to because you enjoy college football so much? Because I know that's happened to me a little bit. So we'll get to that coming up at 12:45. But I mean, how about the ball game last night, Thursday Night Football, and Oakland going into that one at 2-4. That was their season. We talked about it yesterday on the show. We had Matt Bowen on of ESPN, and just if they were to find a way to lose that game and you slipped to 2-5, I'm not quite sure how you overcome that. The schedule is somewhat manageable in the upcoming weeks, but you lose to Kansas City, another divisional game. It was a team that had their number, and they found a way to pull it out there at the end. It really was a gutsy performance with all the chances. I mean, the call gets overturned. His butt was down at the one, and then the offensive pass interference. They dropped a touchdown pass, and then the different defensive pass interference calls. It really was a wild game, and that's kind of where I want to start today is, are you now buying that Oakland's back? Are you believing in Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, and that offense, even though Marshawn Lynch got tossed and was watching the game in street clothes in one of the sections? Are you buying that the Raiders are, again, a legitimate playoff contender, even though they're only 3-4 at this point in the season? So that's where we're going to start off and running on a Friday. Thanks for being with us. No Sprague. He's got the bubble guts. He'll be back on Monday. Go give us a follow. Vote on the poll questions at Dirt and Sprague. We'll start with Thursday Night Football next on 1080 The Fan. Talk a little NLCS coming up bottom of the hour. Dodgers going back to the World Series. First time in 30 years. They're heading into that ballgame. Man, Thursday Night Football has been really good this year. Really, I mean, coming off a year last year where it felt like there was a lot of blowouts and just games that weren't watchable. Maybe I'm overreacting because the last three have been really good.
Well, I think there's a couple elements. One, you've had some division rivalry games, so everybody's perked up. But I'm wondering now that Thursday Night Football has been an every week thing for the last few years, if maybe coaches have figured out how to prep for it better, how to plan for it better, how to adjust. Okay, I'm not going to have time to install a complete and full game plan like we normally would. I just wonder if they're getting better at knowing how to work that week so that they can put something together that goes out and makes them competitive and gives them a chance to win. I think, you know, I think we underestimate sometimes how adept these coaching staffs
yeah,
are.
Yeah, they're finding ways
around
it. I
mean, some are better than others, but, you know, you give coaches the same routine now for a few years. They've all played in two or three of these Thursday night games. They know when guys are ready to get stuff done. You know, obviously the better teams that have experienced quarterbacks and experienced defenses, you know, that sort of thing, they can handle more in the game plan. But, you know, for Oakland, you know, how do you do it? So you simplify, you've got enough in to cover everything, but you're not trying to empty the kitchen sink and, you know, have people's heads spinning or feeling like they're unprepared when they get out there.
Right. Well, and even last night, I've been talking about that with a short week. How about Navarro Bowman filling in? And he was the guy, and they talked about it a lot on the telecast, that he ended up being the guy calling the players on the defensive side. He had 3 days of practice, and they just threw him out there. And, you know, Oakland is a big takeaway, and just the quality of the game was a big takeaway from last night. But there is a certain part of me that feels bad for Kansas City. And they're 5-2. They're still in control. But it's amazing how quickly things can change in the NFL, because they were 5-0. They were consistent. They were dominant. They were beating quality teams. Houston's a good win. Washington's a good win. I think the Chargers game now looks like a good win. They beat the Eagles. They beat the Patriots. Like, they weren't just beating up on nobodies. They were playing good teams, and they were finding ways to win those games and doing it on both sides of the ball. You look at their last 2 weeks. You got to go against Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. It's just a tough matchup. They lose by 6 at home. Tough loss. And then last night happens where it felt like you lost, and then it felt like you were going to win, and then you ended up losing the game. And now you're sitting here at 5-2. If Denver finds a way to win this weekend, which I think they can, Denver's right there at 4-2, and they're a half a game out of first place. It's amazing how quickly the conversation can change in the NFL.
And how quickly teams can adjust and figure that. That's the difference between the NFL and college, is just so wide. It's such a canyon.
It really is. And you know, look, last night with Oakland, it was a fun game, and watching them have so many chances there at the end. I know everybody, I tweeted it out. I'm sure other folks agreed. I was kind of crossing my fingers that they would miss that PAT after how wild the end of the game was. They tie it, and it's like, oh, we got to go to overtime. But it was close.
Yeah.
It felt like the officials were just kind of like, yeah, whatever, we want to get
somebody
out of here.
Somebody teach Marcus Peters how to, you know, cover a receiver without putting his hands all over him.
I don't think he can. But, you know, I do want to start with Derek Carr, though, because that was a gutsy performance on his part. He's going against a tough defense. Yeah. He's been banged up, and I was ready. Like, I'm thinking there watching the game, I'm always thinking of narratives that we can talk about on the show and things that you can carry over to the next day and identify out of a ball game like that. And I was thinking, as Oakland got the ball back, I didn't feel like they were going to score. I didn't have a lot of confidence in them finding a way to get that touchdown on the last drive. And I thought that was going to be kind of a bad look on Derek Carr, because he had played well up until that point. They had to throw the ball a ton. They couldn't run it again. Marshawn Lynch got tossed for making contact with an official. He was watching the game in the stands. They had 88 rushing yards as a team, but it wasn't very balanced. And he had two opportunities to win. They got the ball back with like 3.5, whatever left, 4 minutes left. And Kansas City was able to force a punt, and that would have been a tough loss. You give a quarterback two chances inside the final 4 minutes. If they can't get it done, that doesn't reflect well on them. And he did. And I was so impressed with his plays down the stretch, finding receivers. I don't know how Kansas City left Amari Cooper wide open on that last drive a couple times. Didn't make any sense. And then to continue to fight, even though that call was overturned where you thought Cook was in the end zone, turns out he's not. They still find a way to win. He goes 29 of 52, 417 yards and 3 touchdowns. But my concern for Oakland is still the same as it was earlier in the week, because you always felt like they would find a way to get the passing game going. They can't run the football.
Well,
And I don't
you
know.
You didn't
if
have Marshawn Lynch for what, 40 minutes, 35 minutes of that game?
Yeah, I mean,
game.
He had 2 carries for 9 yards. So you're
well,
I mean,
I think
you're right.
Once he
early.
Got tossed, I think Derek Carr that made it clear. All right, he got Crabtree and Cook and
they
Cooper
threw the ball 52 times last night.
We got to win this ourselves.
52 times. But
here
let
we
me
go.
Ask you this though. I mean, Marshawn got tossed early, and I get that. You know what his season high for rushing yards is this year?
It's only like 75 or 80.
76, and he did it in their debut against Tennessee, and then last week in their loss to the Chargers, he had 63 yards. He's been a non-impact this season.
Yeah, and I just wonder how much of that is him, how much of that is on the offensive line, how much of that is on the offensive coaches not maybe knowing how best to utilize them.
Right.
I mean, you think it's pretty simple, just handing the ball, run power, but
right. Turn around, hand it off to Marshawn, let him go.
But as you implement that within what you want to do with your pass, your dynamic passing game, you know, how do the two fit together? Oh, wait, okay, we need to stop and give the ball to Marshawn now or something when you're... You know,
it's tough to find that balance.
It's the nuanced stuff that the Seahawks had figured out. And to the Seahawks, they've never really figured out how to replace Marshawn Lynch.
No, they're still struggling.
Going through 4 or 5 running backs and trying to figure out how to complement how they want to run the football now with throwing it more. So, it's a nebulous thing when you find that balance the way Kansas City, most people think, at least offensively. Look, when you score 30 points in the NFL, you expect to win.
Yeah, and they were close. They almost won that game at the end, and they had balance again last night on offense. Alex Smith had a great night, 340 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks.
Yeah.
He was only sacked the one time there at the end, which was a costly one, but Kareem Hunt, 87 yards. He didn't get in the end zone, but 18 carries, 87 yards. He had balance. Tyreek Hill was big. He was in and out. We weren't sure how healthy he was. He had 6 catches, 125 yards. I mean, they really targeted him down the field. They felt like that was a game that they could have won. They still had the balance on offense. It's just... You wonder how many games do you trust Oakland to win? I know Derek Carr and Amari Cooper seem to have figured it out, and they seem to be on the same page. And Cook, again, as we've mentioned, had a big night, 6 catches, 100 yards on 7 targets. Can you throw the ball 52 times consistently and win games in the NFL? And that's where my question mark would be around them.
I think the way their passing game is designed, I think if you have a West Coast where a lot of those are like bubble screens or something,
right,
where it's essentially a long handoff.
Right, it's an extension of the running
that's
game.
That's different. Or when Warren Moon was running the run and shoot there with the old Oilers, yeah, they would throw it 40 to 50 times. That's no big deal. But the way that the Raiders' vertical passing game is still structured.
Right, they liked it. They got into it last night attacking downfield. And I know a couple of Raider fans texted in and said it was good to see the offensive coordinator figure that out and start going at guys down the field. And they did. I mean, they opened up the playbook last night. Amari Cooper was running free. Jerry Cook had some big catches, and they were able to take advantage of some things in the Kansas City secondary. But you have to find balance. I said it on the show yesterday. I know Rodgers is done for the year, but really the only two guys in the league that I trust consistently week in and week out without a running game, no matter who's back there with them, is Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. They can find ways. They can audible into plays. They can find holes in the defense, get their hot routes going. But outside of those guys, if your leading rusher is Washington with 33 yards on 9 carries and Marshawn Lynch hasn't given you much, it begs the question, can they find the balance on offense? But the one thing that is a positive for Oakland moving forward, because this is one of those wins that you get the feel goods going, you get the emotion back. I really do feel like it saved your season to get to 3-4 instead of being 2-5. I think everybody would have crossed you off and said you're probably done at that point. And they end the 4-game losing streak. The schedule, I do believe, is manageable the next couple of weeks. You look, they go to Buffalo. Not an easy win, but it's a game that if you're a playoff team, you can win. You're in Miami, a team that has looked just atrocious at times on offense this year. Home against New England, a defense that Derek Carr and Amari Cooper should be able to shred. You get the Broncos at home. So, I mean, I know you already lost at Denver, but it was a close game. Now you get them at your house, and then you get the Giants at home, which, you know, they're 1-5 at this point. So you look at the next 5 ball games for Oakland. If they were at 2-5, there's no way in hell, even with the manageable schedule, I would have said they could find their way back into this. Now you're 3-4. You get a win over Buffalo next week. You're back to .500. And maybe those expectations can be realized that we thought going
into
the year.
Yeah, I think the Patriots game will be the big one. Buffalo could be tough. That's an early game on the East Coast. So the Dolphins game is the Sunday night game. So,
right.
But those early games, we know Buffalo's defense will be formidable offense. not much. You get another week with Navarro Bowman there to try and get that all ironed out. So I think, you know, if they can win those two games on the road and then see what happens when the Patriots come in, if they've solved some of their defensive issues or not, then I don't think you worry as much about the Broncos game outside of it being, you know, a division game with the normal two-game swing,
yeah,
no matter if you can win that or what.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people are pointing out when Marshawn Lynch went out of that game, how it changed things for Carr. That they, you know, he was out.
I think it clarified. He's like,
we're
all right,
not going to run the ball. Let's just throw it.
Let's go three wide, four wide. Let's just, you know, I don't think he even thought about the running game other than maybe a specific, you know, third and short situation or.
Yeah, you needed. And that was the funny thing at the end. I was wondering, I mean, they didn't even try and run the ball. They had all those chances at the 1 yard line to get 1 yard. They didn't even want to attempt it. They said, Carr, go do it. Go get it done.
No, I think at that point, I mean, at that point, you've thrown it so well and you have all these tall receivers in Cooper and Cook and Crabtree. It's like, okay, if I can isolate the one-on-one matchup, which eventually he got to with Crabtree, there's the one-on-one matchup. My guys are, you know, I can just throw it up or throw it to whatever shoulder.
Right.
And the defender can't get to
it. They can make a play or you get pass interference and you just get to keep trying as they did last night. By the way, a lot of folks pointing out, and I appreciate this, I forgot it yesterday too, that game against New England is in Mexico City. It is a home game, but it's not a home game because it's in Mexico City. I totally forgot about that.
I imagine they'll have more Raider fans.
There'll probably
down
be
there,
more right? Raider fans than Patriot fans. And somebody said, it's funny you trust two quarterbacks out of 32 in the so-called passing era, run the ball, play football right. It's not just try. I mean, I'm just saying without the balance on offense, there's only two guys I think that can overcome that. Everybody else, it's not an indictment on them as a quarterback.
Yeah, when the other team knows you're not running
right, you have to throw to beat us. There's two guys I say, all right, I don't care what you know, that's it's coming at you and we're still got to find a way to beat you. And I think Rodgers and Brady are the only one that can do it consistently. So Oakland gets a big win last night. I think they saved their season. They get to 3-4. Kansas City, a couple of tough beats, man. Great football team. They lose by 6 last week, lose by 1 last night. Now they got to play Denver next week on Monday night. So the schedule is tough. All right, hey, the Dodgers are going to the World Series. Brace yourselves for Jason Swigard. That's next. Well, it happened last night. It happened. Only took 5 games for them to dispose of the Chicago Cubs. That's a whole other thing in its own right. We'll have to get to it at some point. But Dodgers win blowout fashion. I didn't watch any of that game because I was too late to the start. Next thing I knew, it was like 7-0. It was
Kike hit the grand slam in the third. That was his second home run. And you're like, okay, Kershaw with a 7-0 lead. Yeah. I, however, watched every last of that.
You have to. You have to enjoy every moment of it. And I'm happy for you, Swagger. 29 years is a long time to wait. Yep. That is a long time between World Series appearances. And I will give you some credit. You were confident. You said it on the show last week. You thought it didn't matter who they played, whether it was the Cubs or the Nationals, and here they are going to the World Series.
No, the Diamondbacks were the team that was scary from a fan's perspective. And then once they – now in the postseason, they've looked like the team I saw in June and July when they lost once a week for like 2 months. Because you got – and it was like that. You got Kike Hernandez goes for 3 home runs. You got Charlie Culberson, who's filling in for, I mean, Seager was out the entire series with his back. He messed up.
Right.
So they call Culberson up, who barely played. He was the starting shortstop at Oklahoma City at AAA all year.
Former
he
giant.
Had 3 hits last night. So all of those things that started to happen, you got your bullpen set where they were lights out once they took things over. That was the team that went 43-7 over that 50-game stretch. So, and quite frankly, looking at it, I think they match up better with the Yankees than the Astros. I think the Astros are a mirror image of them. They get guys that hit all the way through the lineup. There's a couple of guys at the top who just don't get out. Altuve, Correa, similar to Bellinger and Turner, who, you know, you try and do the best you can and hope to keep them in the ballpark. But, and then the two pitching staffs both have, you know, kind of aces at the top.
Right.
And the Yankees, I think, I think the Dodgers match up better with.
Well, and you know, look, I think a couple of things on this. One, if anybody has any Astros or Yankees gear they want to lend me for the next 2 weeks, go ahead and send it in here to the building. And
you would be more comfortable in the orange of the Astros. I'm sure Dusty's got a few things sitting around for you.
Yeah, he offered me an Astros rally thong. I said, whatever it takes. Yeah. I don't care. We'll see who wins game
now,
six
Lynch's
and seven.
Stuff might look like pajamas on you.
they could be a little big, but hey, I'm on board. Let's go Yankees.
Well, either way, there's going to be a bet here in the station.
Oh, they're
of
for
some
sure.
sort.
That's a fun part. We've had a lot of those the last couple of years. I mean, going back, it was me versus Rop. Then the next year it was Souk versus Rop in Kansas City, New York. So we've had some fun back and forth, and we'll get that again. But, you know, I will say this. Like, I hate the Dodgers. That's pretty obvious if you've listened to this show for a long time. I am excited for the sport to have Clayton Kershaw on the hill for game one. He has been the best regular season pitcher we've seen, I think, in a long time. For an extended stretch. I mean, there's some guys with one-year outliers or two-year outliers, but just the extended stretch, he's done it. Coming back from injuries, he's still been as good as he's always been. He's got the Cy Youngs to back it up, and he's been dominant.
He had it working last night.
He did.
From the start. They
to
were
be
only
fair,
up.
It was 3-0, 7-0. I mean, that
well,
takes a lot
was,
of pressure
you
off.
You know, he got a run in each of the first or second innings, and then it busted open in the third when they got five.
Look, I just like when a sport has an opportunity to display somebody who's been at the top of their craft, and now you get the break. When is game one of the World Series?
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
It'll be Tuesday at Dodger Stadium.
So he's got
no
he's
matter
got some
who
time.
They face.
Yeah, doesn't matter because they got home field advantage. And he's going to get the ball in game one of the World Series. And yep. I think whether it's Houston or whether it's New York, it's going to be an awesome watch because you get to see him go against two really good lineups. The Yankees maybe don't have the depth as the Astros lineup, but the ability to hit the long ball, the difficult outs at the top of the lineup, which are fun. And then Houston, if Houston is able to come back and win game six and game seven, that lineup is just stacked from top to bottom. So either way, that kind of grudge match that's going to take place in game one of the World Series, sign me up. And this is Kershaw's moment. He's been waiting for this. He was, you know, ridiculed for some of his postseason performances. He got that monkey off his back. He got to the NLCS. He's pitched well the last couple of years. He's given up a lot of home runs this year in the playoffs, but they're all solo shots.
They're
so
solo
not
shots.
Him.
And so that, you know, he's not walking guys. That's the main thing. You know, if he, you know, so he's challenging guys and, you know, if they get a hold of one, then it's out of there. But,
right.
You know, I think it'll be different. Obviously, with the wind either down or blowing out at Wrigley, everything's flying out of there. I mean,
you can get those weird games.
That one home run Baez hit in game four when we golfed it. I mean, it was low and away. There was nothing wrong with that pitch. He just. So I don't think that'll be the case at Dodger Stadium. Yankee Stadium, I'm not sure. And we know Minute Maid's a bandbox. So
yeah, I think both those ballparks will be tough to pitch in because you got the short porch in right field in New York. And then, I mean, Houston, balls fly out of there left and right. That's one of the easier parks to hit a home run in. But, you know, it is interesting. I'll be curious to watch what the offseason looks like for Chicago because, you know, mentioning them, obviously the World Series champs last year, they lose in game five and now they're done going into the offseason. Joe Maddon made some really bad decisions in this series. He got tossed in two of the five games. The first one I didn't understand because he was arguing a call that's clear as day, the catcher interference.
Yeah.
That's the rule. I don't know what you're arguing. I understand your frustration with
it. The only thing you can
it.
Argue is that he's outside the batter's box.
Yeah, but
the umpire's got to catch that when he steps in. So
right.
Otherwise, forget it. And then, look, the refs totally screwed the thing up.
The Granderson swing and miss, that was BS.
They totally screwed that up.
I understand the frustration, but it's just weird getting tossed in those moments. And I think Swaggy, go back to game two, his decision to go to Lackey in the ninth inning instead of Wade Davis. I know Wade Davis had thrown a lot, but Lackey doesn't pitch back-to-back. He's not great in those kind of moments. You throw him out there, he gives up the walk-off home run. If you're able to get out of that, you find a way to win game two. Maybe it's a different series, but you have a moment like that in game two. You make that decision, you lose. The momentum was just kind of sucked out of that clubhouse, I thought, after game two.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Now they've got to make decisions on Lackey and Arrieta. I know there's a lot of people that think they may not be back. So most of the lineup, most of the hitting and the fielding positions, they'll all be back. So the lineup will look very similar. For the most part, they're pretty young, other than Jason Hayward, who mysteriously wasn't in lineups. They wanted Schwarber more than...
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I don't think Madden's going anywhere.
No, I mean, I'm not saying hot seat.
I think the Ricketts and Theo Epstein have a ton of respect for him. So, I think the rotation and bullpen might look pretty different by the time we get to spring training next
year. Yeah, they're going to need to retinker that a little bit. So Dodgers win last night. They're going to the World Series. We'll have maybe listeners can text in suggestions for a bet. Now, we don't know who you're going to be betting with.
That'll either be Dusty or Lynch.
Yeah, and there's more Yankee fans, too, in the building. You got Mike Moore over at the Wolf. He's a diehard Yankee fan. He's always talking some smack.
Yeah,
so
I know.
The Yankees would
be
fun.
Well, at least the biggest Yankee fan, our former sales manager, Eric Cooley, is no longer here.
Yeah, he is. He's fired up for this one tonight, you know, to see if they have a chance to win.
But the biggest dilemma in L.A. right now, the biggest dilemma is trying to convince Vin Scully to be part of the broadcast.
He needs to be a part of the broadcast.
I think, well, look, he's not going to get into the booth. He said once he was gone, he went, Johnny Carson, I'm out of here.
This is different. It's the World Series.
Yeah, but he's called World Series before.
I know, but it's a Dodgers
but
World
this
Series.
The key is if you get New York and all of the history of the Dodgers and Yankees, I think they've met 11 times previously for the World Series.
Right.
Fox can do in the pregame show some sort of Ken Burns produced type documentary of the history and have Vin voice it. And that will be great because I guarantee Kirk Gibson, they're going to find him. He's going to throw out the first pitch of game one for crying out loud.
He'll come
and if
out
they
with
don't
a broken
do that,
leg still, probably.
Then that marketing person for the Dodgers should be fired.
Vin Scully needs to be a part of it. You know those Fox TV executives, by the way, they're rooting so hard for the Yankees.
Astros, but no, it would be this renaissance that Major League Baseball's kind of had here the last few years. To be able to do that, it gives them the opportunity and the platform to really go back into the history of telling it through the Dodgers and the Yankees, and when the Dodgers left Ebbets Field and moved to L.A. and brought Major League Baseball to the West Coast, and Jackie Robinson and Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle, you know, for a generation, you know, there's probably, I don't know how many generations really aren't maybe they've heard the names, but they don't understand it. To be able to tell those stories, would be pretty special for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, so hopefully they take advantage of it. I hope they get Vin Scully in some way, shape, or form to participate in the broadcast. Let him call an inning even. I don't care. Just get Joe Buck out of there for two innings and let Vin go at it. But hopefully he's a part of it. Dodgers win. They're going to the World Series, and I'm officially a Yankee or Astros fan for a couple of weeks. Let's go American League. Hey, I want to get into something, and we briefly touched on this yesterday. Curious where people come in on this. 55305. What sport do you enjoy watching more? College football or the NFL? 55305. Talk about that next on 1080 The Fan. Hey, 1248. Welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague on a Friday. Hope your Fridays are going well. No Sprague today. He's got the bubble guts. Hopefully that bathroom straightened him well at home. He came in this morning, looked like hell. We said, get out of here, man. I don't want to catch anything. He'll be back on Monday. Talk Oregon, UCLA coming up top of the hour. Want to get into the Pac-12 as well in the second hour. A little Lonzo Ball, ALCS. Lots to come up and talk about here in the next hour of the show. But, you know, one of the conversations we had briefly yesterday to open things up was the NFL ratings are down. And it's a complex issue. I think there's a lot of reasoning for it. And my general takeaway was I do believe there's NFL fatigue. I think it's just something that now for 12 months of the calendar year, it doesn't go away. And a lot of the news isn't good news. It's a lot of controversial stuff, of concussions and guys getting in trouble and guys beating their wives. And Roger Goodell's an idiot that screws up everything he touches, it feels like. Now you got players protesting. You know, I think there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. But I also feel like from time to time we don't give maybe college football enough credit. Like there's a lot of people out there that you don't have the time on a weekend to sit all day Saturday, all day Sunday and watch football. And, you know, look, single dirt before I had a puppy, that was me. I had no problem sitting down for back-to-back straight days and watching nothing but football all weekend. Things change a little bit, and I've experienced that firsthand that, you know what, sometimes you got to pick and choose your battles, and you got to pick which day am I going to leave it in, an implant on the couch? And which day do I got to go to a pumpkin patch or clean the house or do this or that, right? And I found myself this year watching a lot more college football than NFL. It's easier for me to stay in tune with what the NFL is going on, especially in the background, because you can leave the Red Zone channel on and walk around and just kind of be in touch with what's happening. But another part of it is too, like I just, and I felt this way for a long time, and it's just now coming out a little bit more because I have to choose which one I want to watch more. But I find college football more entertaining and more enjoyable. And I think last weekend was a prime example of that for me, where you could go into a week and we had zero top 25 matchups last week. No top 25 teams were playing each other. And what was the end result? You had four teams in the top 10 lose. It was chaos. And now we're all wondering, who are the good teams? Who are the bad teams? Who's in the driver's seat to make the playoff? And with as good as the NFL has been this year in terms of just questioning and not knowing what's going to happen, which I do enjoy about the league this year, there's not the same ramifications week in and week out. And that's why I wanted to ask the poll question today. What do you enjoy watching more? And I guess I'm not surprised by the results. 66% of people going with college football over the NFL.
I was trying to think on my end. I would still say probably more into the NFL. But I think the ratings issue is, I think people are being more selective, which there seems to be every week a clear delineation as to, okay, here's the games,
right,
two or three of them.
The primetime games are doing great in ratings. Monday night's good. Yeah. Thursday night's been good.
I think then just the random, you know, and they still don't know how to quantify. Most red zone isn't being taken into consideration into the ratings. I think there's a lot more. I think for those, especially the early games when there's like 7-8 games going on at once, 10 a.m. Pacific, I think there's a lot more of people streaming those or getting them from a non-traditional television.
Right, and you can't register that via rating. I mean,
so you can't register that. Yeah. So I think then when you get to the 1 o'clock games, there's a lot more people that are coming back. You know, that's 4 o'clock, 4:30 on the East Coast. So I think people are settling in then on their Sunday evenings and dial that one up. And that's usually one of the better games, whether it's CBS or Fox that has the doubleheader that day.
Right, right.
So I think people are just being a little bit more selective with getting to the key NFL games that week, where college is just sort of all over the map. I think you're more willing to take in a random college game than maybe the random NFL game.
Right.
But still, what gets me excited, I will look to the NFL first to say, okay, where's the big game? Is it Thursday? Is it Sunday night? Is it Sunday afternoon? Is it the Monday night game? Where do I need to tune in and what do I need to pay attention to? And then for college, it's more about, other than your team, you know, whether it's the Ducks or the Beavers or whatever, that's more, okay, I'm home now from whatever I'm doing.
Right.
I got three ESPN games and three Fox games and, you know, what's the CBS SEC game?
Yeah, you're flipping. You got the six different games you're flipping
to
in the afternoon.
You can usually find one that's good.
Yeah, and you can watch the whole thing. And, you know, look, we have differing answers on this at the Bridgeport Beers text line 55305. It's where you can chime in with your opinions. And, you know, somebody's saying, look, I think the NFL boycott has more to do with the ratings loss than people would think. I was never into college football, but that's all that I watch now. And that's where I think, I don't think it's just simply to point to the boycott. There are some folks that are not watching the NFL because of player protests. I have people in my life that I know. I had some family in town recently, and one of my aunts from Nebraska, I had an NFL game on. She looked at it and kind of looked away, and I was like, what's wrong? She said, yeah, I don't want to watch anymore. I don't like what's going on. I said, all right, well, I'm going to keep it on TV, but we can go to another room. I do think that's a part of the problem right now. And that's where I almost lead into more of just people wanting to get back to the purity of football and just enjoying the sport with all the pageantry, the guys and how hard they play every single week, the intensity that goes into it. And you really get that every single weekend in college football because, you know, even somebody saying the NFL is a better product on the field. Any NFL team can beat any on any given day, but not so in college. And that's where I disagree. Like, granted, the parity is not the same, but you also have to remember there's, 130 Division I football teams. Even if you just count the Power 5 conferences, you're looking at a lot of teams. It's more than what goes on in the NFL. So I understand the parity is fun in the National Football League. I'm not trying to take away from it. And I love this year not having that one juggernaut team that's just running away with it. Kansas City was it 2 weeks ago. Now they're 5-2. Everybody's in love with the Eagles. I think they have a chance to lose this weekend or on Monday night to Washington. They could be 5-2. New England, everybody thought was going to go undefeated. Here they are struggling 6 weeks into the season. So I love that about the NFL. But the one thing that I've always held college over the NFL with is that when you lose one of those games you're not supposed to, it changes everything. It changes the entire landscape. Denver loses last week to the Giants on Sunday Night Football. Nobody saw that coming. Everybody thought Denver was going to roll the Giants. The Giants were winless. They were banged up. Didn't have receivers. Didn't have an offensive line. They went in and won. That was a shocker, and that's a fun part about the NFL. But what's the ramification for Denver? If they win this week, they're 4-2, and they're a half game out of first place in the AFC West. They're a half game behind 5-2 Kansas City. And if you have one of those games in college football, look what's going on this week with Washington State. They lay an egg at Cal. They find a way to lose that game. Now all of a sudden everybody dumps on them and says you don't belong in the playoff conversation. You lose one more game, your season's over in terms of reaching the highest level of expectations. And that's where I think the college product, I get it. I mean, you're going to get Alabama blowing people out. The spread with Alabama-Tennessee this weekend is 35. That's huge. But you're also going to get Auburn and LSU. You're going to get Washington and Arizona State. You're going to get Oklahoma and Iowa State. And when you get those games, it makes it a lot of fun. And I think that's just usually where I side more as a college guy. But it is something to keep in mind because the NFL ratings are down. I think people are picking. If you're still a football fan and you are in the boycott crowd of I don't want to watch this anymore because the guy's protesting, maybe you're leaning more to the college sport, as some listeners are suggesting. Just something I wanted to point out. You can go vote at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. Appreciate the thoughts and the text at 55305, college or NFL. Maybe get to that a little bit more on later in the show. Hey, 1 hour down, two to go. Lots to get to in the next hour. We'll look ahead to game six of the ALCS. Can Verlander save the day for Houston? Did anyone enjoy watching Lonzo Ball get shut down as much as I did? Man, that was fun. What did I say wrong?
Well, I just didn't enjoy watching.
Oh, okay. I thought I got a grammatical error there.
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, I
enjoyed it, and I hope people enjoyed it too because it was fun. I want to take a stroll around the Pac-12, make some picks against the spreads. We'll do that coming up at 1:15. And then we're going to start down in L.A., Oregon, UCLA. Can the Ducks bounce back? Can they score points? Can UCLA stop them? Should be a fun one. What do you think is going to happen? Oregon, UCLA kicks off the second hour next on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.